There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, g'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine. As together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And guess what, everybody? We've made it to the final show of our Embodied Intelligence series. This is number 9. So welcome back, and I really love this one. This one's actually my favorite because we're talking about the future learner today, and really wrapping a big bow around it. We're pulling it all together, and considering where we are headed, where we are now, but also where we are headed. And for any of our new listeners out there, welcome. We really encourage you to take this information and apply it and reflect on your own circumstances, your own life. Learning is not just for children in schools, it's for all of us constantly. And it's wonderful for us to never lose our wonder and sense of curiosity. All right, so the future learner, goodness gracious me. I mean, how do we learn in this emerging world? When you think about it, there's just so many things that are shifting very, very quickly. I know other people are feeling it because we're talking about it quite a lot, but it's made me actually stop and wonder. I do wonder a lot. How do we remain valuable in a future where there is lots of technology and shifting changes and uncertainty? I mean, what kind of learner does our future need? And for that matter, what kind of human does our future need? Because there seems to be a lot of conversation just around humanity and who we are and how things are shaping. So this is what I want to explore today, because I don't want to talk about quantum technology and AI and even all of the galactic exploration. There's a lot of conversations out there at the moment. I really want us to come back to who are we, and what sorts of skills and mindsets and heart sets are we going to need and choose moving forward, particularly when I feel like I'm looking at these little babies and these very small children today, or, you know, born today, born in the last couple of years, and going, wow, what sort of world will they be navigating as a learner? I mean, one day they're going to be walking alongside artificial intelligence. Not that it's even artificial, because some of it's biological. So the whole technological intelligence conversation is a conversation worth having, and one which very interestingly seems to trigger a lot of people. And when I am centered and I can tap into my own body and how it is communicating, I find that it's very easy to not be manipulated by other people's thoughts. I can go, okay, what do I feel, rather than the energetic weather out there? These children, you know, they may grow food in regenerative communities. There's a huge resurgence of going back to community living and moving out of cities. And yes, it's not everywhere, but there's a massive movement happening in this way, going back to the natural way and connections and seeking those connections. And having said that, a lot of these children will have holographic teachers. The virtual reality is already here. It seems to be everywhere at the moment that I am seeing and observing that it's popping up. And the children, many of the children are really leaning into this technology. I know that we're going to be exploring our oceans more deeply. I mean, a lot of the oceans are not yet explored, and there's so much there. There's a whole world there to be able to explore deeply. So I can imagine that their view of the ocean and what's underneath or living in the ocean is going to shift and change for our future learner. I would say they may travel beyond Earth, Personally, definitely travel beyond Earth. Definitely going to happen with young children within this lifetime. It really feels like there's just so much technology that is brimming there. It's sitting there, it's waiting for it to emerge publicly. And of course, there's going to be lots of discoverings that we cannot even imagine in the next few years. The technology may change, the landscape may change. So I've been looking and feeling into all of this change and then going, well, that's all well and good, Teresa, but what qualities are going to help this young child flourish? What qualities are going to help us adults flourish in all of these changing times? There's different shifting and lots of evolving going on. Jobs are changing, information is becoming increasingly accessible. But there are some qualities, in my opinion, that are more valuable than ever. So I actually wrote a list. Let me get that out. This is the list that I wrote down. Curiosity, adaptability, definitely being able to adapt to situations, discernment, self-awareness, probably one of the most important is self-awareness, creativity, and creativity is creation, connection. Connecting to self, connecting to the unified field, nature, the world around us, and of course, connecting with others. And communication, being able to communicate. And I don't just mean by opening your mouth and blah, blah, blah. I mean communicating in many different ways. We've got a lot of people now who are communicating telepathically. We've got lots of, communication through body language, communication through what you're writing. What you're singing. There's so many different ways of communicating today. And I really feel that all of those are qualities that are going to be valuable for our future learner. It's not just going to be what they learn, it's how they learn and making sure that they can tap into their perceptions and their own intelligences because there's expanding. And it makes me really wonder about how do we prepare for this world that is ever changing, because when we reflect on what's currently going on in schools, a lot of it is still very traditional and not able to keep up with the shifts and changes that are happening so quickly. So when I look back over this series, this embodied intelligence series, that's where we have been leading. We have focused and explored on awareness, that we're more than a physical body, looking at our multidimensional self as well. Safety, the fact that learning requires safety, and how do we gain that in such an uncertain world? So that was episode two. Episode three, we looked at connection and how everything is connected. None of us are isolated, and that, of course, we are stronger together. Memory, how the body actually memories life, remembers life. And how our fascia and our nervous system and all parts of our body, because it's not separate, everything works together. We need to stop looking at separate systems and certainly continue looking within and focusing on our body because it's communicating with us. Presence. Presence was where our attention shapes our experience. And I'm actually going to do another show purely on attention because it is so important and there's a lot of people. Children in particular who are being so distracted at the moment, and attention is a superpower. And then expansion. Growth occurs when capacity increases, but how do we allow our body to communicate and know that it is safe to expand rather than contracting and going within, which is where a lot of anxiety can fit into this picture when we're seeing the epidemic of anxiety out there, feeling that the growth can can happen naturally and feeling safe in order to do in order to do that for that expansion. We also looked at identity and how knowing ourselves matters. And last week we looked at the wisdom, how life is always teaching, and a lot of ancient wisdom, which I'm very passionate about. We don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We really need to come back and tap into that ancient wisdom because it is still prevalent today. Just because something may be old does not mean it's not still viable today. And a lot of it, if in my opinion, that we're doing today and learning today is way off course where we need to be. So it's important to go back to the ancient wisdoms, because when we're looking at the integration today, we need to integrate that together. At the moment, what I'm observing with our educational systems is that they were designed for a different era, and it's an era that's over. It's long gone. And that was an era where information used to be scarce, knowledge was really centralized, conformity was rewarded, and predictable careers were common. You basically went into a career and you were in that career for your entire lifetime. That era is gone. So why are we still teaching, and why are our education systems still set up to cater for an era which is gone? It's not even going and out the door. It's no longer like that right now. Today, information is everywhere. It's not scarce. In fact, there's too much information. So how do you know what's useful? And you can get analysis paralysis because there's just so much information out there. It's overwhelming. And the challenge is no longer the access to the information. It's discerning what information is relevant. Is it even true? Is it propaganda? Because, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on propaganda. It is everywhere. There is so much rubbish out there. People wanting to convince you that their way is the only way, and there's so much righteousness out there. It drives me bonkers to feel into the fact that a lot of us have lost our way with being able to discern for ourselves. And I have struggled with it myself. But what I have learned is giving myself space to feel into something and go, I just need to sit with this and then see what more information comes through. Or I might just say, I'm going to put a pin in that. I need more information before I can make a decision, rather than be pushed and pushed and pushed into making a decision now, or just because I saw something three, four, five times doesn't make it true. Because in the world of social media and a lot of these media companies that are out there that are, yes, you might see it in the media in several different forms of media, but there's one company that owns all of the media. So that still doesn't make it true. So how do we discern today? And that's why, with the Embodied Intelligence series, it's one of the reasons why I brought this together, because our body can cut through all the noise. Our mind can be tricked, but our body actually speaks a different language to our brain. And it is part of our discernment, making meaning. And then, of course, today, we really need to think about, well, we've got all this access to this information, but how do we apply it? I know that it's quite tricky sometimes to go, okay, what do I do with this information? And that comes back to the wisdom, having the wisdom to know sometimes less is more. Sometimes knowing everything is not enough. What are you going to do with that information? I've had conversations with I don't know how many people that say, oh, I already know that. Great. What are you doing with the information? That's fantastic. How can you apply it in your life? And the future learner is going to and is currently already navigating these different capacities, the capacity to pay attention. They're also going to need not only to discern information wisely, but to think critically. And thinking critically is your whole body. You need also the neurons in your heart and the neurons in your stomach. Your gut feelings are part of thinking critically. It is not just an intellectual process. There are a lot of different intelligences out there. So you can work creatively. They need to work creatively alongside technology. They need to know themselves deeply, and build meaningful relationships, which is can be a challenge. Caring for living systems, going back to connecting with nature and having that strong communication with nature. And then adapting to all of the change without losing yourself. Who wants to just go along with the crowd and do whatever you're told and live life by default without actually thinking and actually stopping and questioning for a moment? Hang on a minute. Just because we're doing this, is this the best way for me? You do not have to follow the crowd. And this is what we've been trained to do in our education systems. Simply sit down, shut up, follow authority, don't think. Here is the information. We are going to present it to you. Quite frankly, it smacks of indoctrination, and it has been for a very long time. Where is the curiosity? Where is the rich discussions where it's okay and safe to question and ask deeper questions and cross-reference the information? And I mean cross-reference deeply, not just Googling something. Googling is not research. It's a search engine. It's how you search something. It is not how you research, which means going back again, re-going back again. So, and it's quite challenging to do that this way today because there are algorithms there, and the algorithms are presenting with you, whoever it is that's behind the algorithms, the information that they want you to see. And some information can get buried or lost or changed or adapted. History is literally being rewritten as we speak. I've seen evidence of this in the last few years. It's a whole nother conversation, but our future learner is going to navigate all of this. They're going to need skills. And if we, as adults, as guides, as mentors who really care for these children, want to be role models, then we need to learn to do it too. I want to delete the word need. We are in the process. We intend of doing this too. And that means that we have to continue learning through life because learning is being alive. That's a really important thing. So all of the things that I just mentioned are really timeless human capacities. None of them become obsolete because AI has come to the table. You know, they're all very important capabilities, and are still part of the conversation, which makes me wonder, then what does it mean to be more deeply human for mankind? Yes, technology is becoming capable of processing information and is faster. And yes, it can become valuable in many different areas, but there is still a human intelligence. We still have wisdom, discernment, ethics, relationships, imagination is probably one of the really important ones, compassion, creativity, our embodied experience. And my all-time favorite, tending living systems, tending to them, just like you tend to a garden, nurturing them, deciding what you're going to feed it with your attention and your energy, which are one of your most precious resources. They are your superpowers. These capacities involved lived human experience. And as we've talked before on many other shows, there are many forms of intelligences. So we've got the intellectual intelligence, which is where our schooling system and our education system has predominantly been focusing. We've got the embodied intelligence, which is what this whole series was all about. We have emotional intelligence, which is fairly common today. Most people will talk about emotional intelligence and how important it is in today's world as well. And then you have your relational intelligences, your ecological intelligences, your creative intelligences. There's just so many that are there. And the future learner is not going to need to be focusing on just one. There has to be a blend. You know, developing across all of these different intelligences will be part of the process, I feel. Because I'm looking around at nature. For those of you who know me, know that I really love the natural way nature teaches us everything that we need to know. We can go back and have a look at it, and nature does not stop learning. You know, a river will adapt to an obstacle. Trees, they respond to seasons. They shift, they change, they bend. You can prune them in a different way, but they will always adapt, and they're changing and they're learning. An ecosystem continually adjusts. Life itself is responsive, and we are alive. So we are in the process, and the future learner will be responsive, flexible, adaptive. Learning works the same way that it does in nature. And, throughout this whole series, we've explored the body and the nervous system and the memory and the presence and identity and the wisdom. None of those flourish, however, without the correct conditions. So when I'm talking about tending to a living system, it's really like, a seed requires soil and sun and sunlight and water. A learner, a human learner, also requires conditions. And that's really one of the questions that I would encourage everybody to ponder on. What conditions do you thrive in? What conditions do you contract and get really stressed and it doesn't suit you? But what conditions do you thrive in? And how do we create those conditions for our beautiful future learners, our children being born today? What conditions can we create for them so that they can flourish? I would argue connection and nourishment. Certainly, rest is important in today's world. Where is rest? Rest is a luxury. People who are rich and abundant in this world have time to rest. Movement, purpose, challenge, contribution, all of these things can help people flourish. I flourish when I know I'm contributing to others. It's one of my values. One of my core values is being able to feel like I can contribute. I come alive when I'm under those conditions. And if you put me in a situation where I'm not contributing and I just don't see the point, I'm not doing it. I just won't do it. I will not comply. That's one of the core actions that I really feel that I am currently living right now. And it's that knowing yourself. Where are your boundaries? Because you don't have to go along with something if it doesn't suit your condition. And that also means being able to communicate what conditions you need, being able to speak up, have the courage to put in your boundaries and to communicate what it is that you need and observe not only yourself but others as well. Read the body language. A sense of belonging is really important, and of course, the future learner is going to need conditions to foster curiosity, wonder, joy. Some people might think, oh, they're just words. Actually, no, there's frequencies to these words. These words are very powerful words. They have a huge ripple effect, not only saying them and speaking them, because speaking, as we know, sound, vibration, is at a creational level, but when you live them, when you embody them, that has a massive ripple effect with everywhere you go. The future learner is going to have to understand how to tend to these conditions, and all learners are slightly different. So they're going to have to know themselves to know, okay, some people say, oh, I work really well under pressure. I come alive under pressure. They really like that. And other people don't. They need time, they need space, they need space to create. They need that spaced learning. What do you need? Is my question. There's a lot to think about there. I know I'm throwing a lot out here. I'm just talking and talking and talking. But in my opinion, learning is creating conditions. A huge part of the learning is creating conditions where life flourishes, because learning is life. We are living the learning. Interestingly, as the technology becomes more sophisticated, people are simultaneously rediscovering the old ways. They're going back to nature and gardens and local communities and growing food and walking barefoot and watching the seasons, all of these beautiful ancient wisdoms and things that are coming back. And the future learner will be really invited to embrace the remembrance of what was and still is, but also embrace it and blend it with the innovation that is coming, with all of these amazing technologies that are coming. They're almost probably going to be like a bridge builder, I suppose, bringing the science and the wisdom together, and the technology and humanity together, and innovation and nature together, and the information and discernment together. The individuality and knowing yourself, but also community and being connected, community together, the body, the mind, the the local and the global, earth and the exploration. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's just so many things that are flowing out of me right now. It's going crazy. But that I do know though that learning is definitely going beyond school. Learning happens in kitchens, it happens on farms, it happens in conversations when you're traveling. It's made through mistakes. It's made through nature, it's made through community, even through service and life itself. Learning happens everywhere. And, school may be one place where learning occurs, but it is not the only place. And the future, in my opinion, may not require us to abandon the ancient wisdom. It's going to be integrating it. And that's what the future learner will be focusing on. And so, for the article that I've written today, for those of you who are new, every week when I do a topic on this show, I write an article and I add micro practices or small activities with the articles, and it's all for free. And if you'd like to access it, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, and then you can find all the archive shows and all the archived articles. There's almost a year and a half's worth there now. For every weekly. Lots there. There's a plethora there to go and explore. But for this week, for the micro practice, I wanted to focus on learning from life. So it was an activity where you can reflect on the end of the day of what did I learn today? And it is something that we don't often take the time to stop and focus on that. What did I achieve and what did I complete? Is often more questions that are asked today, but I'm not asking that. It's not did what did I achieve today and what did I complete today? It's what did I learn today? Because life itself becomes the teacher. And then, of course, there's another embodied practice that I would love to share, and that's when you can place your hand on your heart and take three slow, deep breaths. And reflect on the journey throughout this whole series. And then you can speak aloud these words. I am a learner. Life is teaching me. I am open to growth. I am open to wisdom. I am open to possibility. I trust my capacity to learn and evolve. And when you speak those words aloud, just notice. Notice what arises. Notice how your body feels, because you're speaking this into existence, but your body will communicate with you as well. I also have reflection questions and a weekly integration. And of course, the universal law connection for this week would be evolution, because life evolves, nature evolves, community evolves. And our future learner is part of the evolutionary process. It's really fantastic. It's very exciting, actually. And the future learner will know how to tend life, themselves, relationships, communities, nature, wisdom, curiosity. Just the aliveness will be very important to our future learner. And also comprehending what does it take to become more deeply human. I feel like I'm going to probably leave it there today. But thank you so much for joining me on All Learning Reimagined and for joining me at the end of this 9-episode series on embodied intelligence. It has been a good journey and I've learned a lot, bringing forward some notes and doing the research in order to be able to present this to you. So it's just such an honor. Thank you so much, everybody. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.